This morning, we continue our sermon series, Glory Days, and we've been challenging and encouraging one another to live our best days now, not just to wait until heaven, not just to think this is good as it gets, but to believe the very promises of God that says our best days can happen today, that we can experience kingdom living and the glory of God on this day. If you remember with me, we've been on a journey with Joshua and the Israelites. They have come through the wilderness. They have passed through the Jordan River, and God did it miraculously. He let them do it on dry land. They got into the promised land, and they put 12 stones on top of one another to mark that as God's faithfulness so that they might never forget that they got into the promised land. They got to the glory days only because God delivered them there. And so we find them this morning in that first land on the other side of the Jordan River. Joshua chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up, and everyone straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the army, "Advance, march around the city, with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets. And the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the army, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army, "Shout! For the Lord has given you the city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord." Let's pray. Holy God, pour into us a battle plan for our life as you have poured into Joshua one for his. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. According to the GPS coordinates, the Israelites and Joshua were now in the promised land. They had arrived to the place that they had been promised for generations. They were in a stance of victory. Except when they looked ahead in the promised land, all they saw was a mighty walled fortress called Jericho. Think about it this way. You finally save enough money to buy that property you've wanted your entire life. You know the one that's beachfront, has the best view in the world? You finally move in, you run up the stairs. Oh, remember the energy of running upstairs? That was a real hopeful image, right? You ran up the stairs, you looked out the window, and someone's built a three-story condo right in front of your beach house. I mean, this is that moment. They're in victory land, promised land. They are home. Except there's this big fortress of occupants right in front of them. And Jericho was enormous, and it was intimidating. It is said that the walls were 40 feet high. And there wasn't just one wall, but there was two concentric walls of stone. It wasn't just one wall, but there were two walls that you had to get through in order to fully enter into Jericho. It was intimidating and enormous. And it was right there in front of Joshua and the Israelites. Now, you know what the soldiers are doing. If you've gotten to hang out with military men right before a battle, you know the kinds of things that happen. They sharpen their swords. They polish their armor. They gather around the campfire and they tell the stories. Remember that last time when we were in battle and I took that man down? Remember back in the day? Remember the story of? And why do they do that? They're building up their courage. They got to take on Jericho soon. So we got to tell some good war stories and get our adrenaline pumping, get our testosterone turned on, and remember that we can take this down. Or we hope we can. And then Joshua says it. It's time. And they're like, oh, yes. I'm sorry, I can't do good manly grunts. I tried. That was not a manly grunt at all. Sorry. They are like, ready. Let's do this. Let's bring it. And Joshua says, oh, wait a second. Before we go, new battle plan. You know how we did before? You're like, you flank right and you flank left and you go secretly behind and you attack this way and put the strong guys in the front. Forget all that. This is what I need you to do. Go get the priests. And they're like, what? Go get the priests. Have them get their horns, okay? Have them bring the Ark of the Covenant, because we're going to put that in the middle. And then you can bring your weapons, but you're not allowed to use them. And like, wait a minute, not only do we have our weapons, we have the ladders and the ropes and the hammers, and we have the posts to ram the gates. And he's like, yeah, let's just leave that behind. Is your confidence starting to fail with your leader at this point? Absolutely. I'm not going behind this guy or with this guy. Leave the ladder, leave the rope, leave the ramming post. You're not going to need it. Take your weapon because you shined it, but don't pull it. I want half of the armed guard on the front. I want half of the armed guard on the back. And hey, let's have the priest play the horn the whole time. The whole time we're out there marching around, let's do the horn. And the rest of you, nothing. Don't talk. Don't make a joke. Don't ask what we're doing. Don't do the manly grunt. Don't do a battle cry. Just be quiet. Does this sound like a great battle plan? It's what Joshua asks of his men. And the next morning he says, get up, today's the day. Put the armed soldiers in front, the priests with the seven horns, the Ark of the Covenant, armed soldiers in the back, march. All that is heard is the sound of the ram's horn playing as they circle the city of Jericho. Now imagine being the people in Jericho. We learned a couple weeks ago in the story of Rahab that Rahab revealed the state of their hearts. Remember? Their hearts were melting with fear. Even the king's heart was melting with fear. They were so afraid of the Israelites and their God because they had seen what this God does. He parts the seas, or they had heard. And when they go up against battle against someone, people are demolished. They had already heard and seen what happens when you go up against God's people. And so even the beginning of our text says they didn't go out and they didn't let anyone in. They just stayed in their fortress and prayed the Israelites would go away. And so imagine the day when you see all of the Israelite armies, they say it probably was at least 40,000 armed men, coming toward Jericho. Can you imagine the guards on top and the people peeking out the windows? They would be sounding the alarms and calling for everyone to take their posts. And then all of a sudden, the people come up, but they don't approach the gate. They must be having some other route. They're doing something sneaky on us, but then they're all marching together in the same direction. Nobody does that. And then they're all marching in a pattern that we can recognize. Nobody does that. And then they're not saying anything, and they're not pulling their swords, and no one's banging on anything. Nobody does that. And they go one full circle, and probably the craziest thing of all is they then go home, back to camp. How confused and confounded and terrified would the people of Jericho be? But, you know, they're smart. They've been in war. Recon, right? Instead of sending two spies, they sent the whole army for recon. So here we go again, day two, wake up, let's do it. Armed guards, priests with the horns, Ark of the Covenant, more armed guards, let's go march. And now they see them coming again and they must think this is the day. We're really gonna be ready, you know, like protect the women and the children, get people out of the way, get ready. Except they do the exact same thing. The men are silent, they hear the ram's horns and they go around. Crazy. I mean, absolutely insane if you're the person inside the fort, right? It would drive you nuts. It happens on day three. It happens on day four. But this is what happens. It's the nature of people. By day four, when the crazy people are going round and round you, you start scoffing and mocking. You start thinking, you have a sword, but you're not doing much with it. We're in here. You know, like, like you get a little bold, don't you? You feel a little safe after a few days of simple marching. Day five, day six, day seven. Day seven, Joshua says, get up, put the soldiers in front, get the seven priests with the horns, get the Ark of the Covenant, get more soldiers, have them walk around. This time, again, this time they go around the first time and the Jericho people are like, this is when they go home. Can you imagine that moment? This is the moment they go home. Wait a minute, they're not leaving. Whoa, we're going around for number two. Can you imagine? And they're like, someone lost count or got off beat. So certainly, when they come back around, round number two, they're gonna leave. Whoa, you know, I can just imagine them reporting it again and again and yelling it all throughout the city. Three, four, five, six, seven. Joshua says it's time. Shout. Shout a shout of victory. And the soldiers shout with all their might. Remember, they haven't used that voice for 7 days, so it's good and strong. They shout the victory shout. And then I was taught a song in church long ago that said, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Help me out. And the walls came tumbling down. I was taught to sing it my whole life. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. It is an amazing, powerful text about what God will do for Joshua and for the Israelites. And brothers and sisters, I'm here today as your pastor and as a witness to Scripture that God wants to do the same for you. That God wants to do the same for you. You see, each of us in this room has a Jericho. Some of us have several of them. We have things that separate us from experiencing the fullness of our glory days. We have things that separate us from being fully in the promised land. There are things like anxiety, fear, lack of trust, guilt, resentment, belief that I can only be loved if I do things perfect and well all the time. I can go on and name the Jericho out here, but most of you already know it. Even as I'm talking about that which keeps you from experiencing God's peace and rest and glory and fullness, you already know what's separating you. But what Joshua says is that God takes down Jerichos. that God knocks them down. If we remember in Joshua 6:2, this is what it said. God will give Joshua the city of Jericho, the king and his men. Hear that again. God will give Joshua. Did Joshua take Jericho? No. Did Joshua fight the battle on his own? It sounds good in the lyrics because it's too many lyrics to say, Joshua fought, but God really did it, and the walls came tumbling down. It just doesn't sing well. But Joshua didn't do this. Don't ever mistake that. God gave Jericho into the hands of Joshua. God knocked the walls down. God tumbled the stones. In fact, God rolled each stone away. Now, brothers and sisters of Christ, that should sound familiar. God rolls a stone away. Does that resound in this place? It should be Easter morning now, and we should be doing a victory cry of what God did in Jesus the Christ, who on the cross and through his resurrection, he overcame death and sin and every single Jericho that stands in our way. Lack of trust, fear, uncertainty, thinking I have to perform to be loved, guilt, resentment. I can go on and on and on. God, through Jesus the Christ, on the cross, was victorious over all those Jerichos. The question is, will we live the battle plan so that our Jericho can tumble as well? Because you see, Joshua's battle plan is really our battle plan as well. This is what we learned from Joshua. Where did Joshua put the Ark of the Covenant? Right in the middle. So if you want to take on battle along with God against your Jericho, then God has to be center. He has to be center in all that you do and all that you are. And I can tell you the only way to keep God center as not only a pastor, but as someone who struggles to do it in her life every day, is you have to be in worship and engaged. You have to be in scripture. You have to be in prayer. You need to be in a small group where people are praying for you and your needs and where you are praying for others. You need to be serving so that you can feel God's grace and his love pour through you, because when it goes through you, it does something in you. You need to pick up the tools and the weapons of our faith, praise songs, communion, being in community, accountability by someone who loves you and says, shape up, you're being a mess. I love you, but you're being a complete mess. That's one of the most loving things we can do for someone we really love and have relationship with. It's a really loving thing to do when we do it well. We need all these tools and all these weapons, just like Joshua said. We don't have to pull them out and use them. We just have them, engage them, and we march with God in center. The second thing, don't forget what Joshua said, let the ram's horn sound continuously. In the Hebrew time, they had two main instruments. It was the silver trumpet, which was to call the assembly together. The ram's horn was the horn of victory, of redemption, of God's deliverance. Think with me, those of you who know about Genesis and Abraham and Isaac. Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. Right before the moment he did, he was provided a ram of deliverance. The ram's horn is God's deliverance, God's victory, God's battle cry. Which takes us back to the very first week that I preached on Glory Days. It doesn't matter if you're here, we're here or not, because I'm going to tell you, Christians do not fight for victory. We fight from a stance of victory. Christians do not fight for victory because we can't win it. It's already been won in Christ. We don't have the power to do it in our own strength, and it's already been done in Christ's resurrection. We fight from a victory stance. So this means we sometimes look a little foolish and crazy. We put God in the center, and we say victory in Jesus, and we march. And we go round and round and round our Jericho. We go round and round it until the walls tumble down. Even as I say that, I can hear some of your inner thoughts. Do you know pastors can do that? Teachers have eyes in the back of their heads. Pastors can sometimes hear what you're thinking. Some of you are thinking it's almost lunchtime. Others of you are thinking, Jen, Pastor Jen, I've been angry for 30 years. Pastor Jen, I haven't forgiven in 50 years. Pastor Jen, I'm just cynical. That's who I am. Not in Christ, you're not. Not in Christ. This is what I would say. Remember in the text, Joshua knows what's going to happen on the seventh day, but the army has no idea. They are simply told each morning to get up, put God in the center, yell, see, hear the battle songs, and march. The next day, what is the battle plan? God in the center, sing the battle songs, march. What's the battle plan? Put God in the center, proclaim God's redemption, and march. They did not know if they were going to march for 5 days or 7 days or 5 years. They had been in the wilderness. It could have been a 40-year journey. We don't know when our Jericho will come down, but we know in Christ it will if we follow the battle plan. And brothers and sisters, some people's Jericho is coming down today in the name of Christ. Some people, it will happen today. And for others of us, it's going to happen tomorrow. And for others of us, we're always just a few steps away to God's victory in us. And soon that wall that tumbled down becomes a stepping stone to the promised land. Let us pray. Holy God, pour your spirit out upon this church and upon this meal. Bring forth our remembrance of the victory of Christ, of his sacrifice and of his suffering, but even more so of his amazing grace and love. Place in our hearts all that you want us to be as you tumble down the walls of our Jerichos. Make this bread become the body, and this blood, this juice, the blood of Christ. Pour your spirit on each of us and this meal. Amen.